Hey, good afternoon and good evening or good morning wherever you might be around the world today. Welcome to another edition of Cross Encounters Radio, brought to you by Cross Encounters Ministries, as well as our sponsor, Sharkhead Knives and Gifts, where you will find prices that don't bite. It is good to be with you today. It's been an interesting day. Things are popping off in the chat room, it sounds like. We got some new folks in there. Hopefully everyone can hear me okay. I think my buddies here are going off about not being able to hear me. Hopefully you can hear me. Rich, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Oh, and friends, those of you, all five or six of you who listen to the show regularly, you know that Rich has kind of been incognito for the last few weeks, it seems like. He's been down with gout and arthritis and several other things and has been hurting, but he's with us now. Actually, he was on a secret mission for a government to be identified later, and this is really just his cover, being the manager of Cross Encounters Ministries and one of my partners in crime here on Cross Encounters Radio. Chris Honnold, Chapman, is with us. We just don't know to what extent. He's having a lot of trouble with his internet. He would like to give a negative shout out to AT&T right now because things are not going well for him electronically right now. It's good to see some regular faces in the chat room. Good to see some new faces in the chat room, Jay Landon and Stickman Radio. That's one I haven't seen before. And we have the illustrious, venerable, never to be outdone by any kind of flying rodent, Pastor Gene Clyatt, otherwise affectionately known as Shinar Squirrel, is in the chat room. And so we've got to mind our P's and Q's. We've got to be all mature. We've got to be all grown up. Yes, we do have some new intro music. My friend Elijah Hankins, who did the intro music for Chris's audio blog, Chris's podcast. Yes, Chris stole him from me, and if you were with us last week,
hey.
You know what happened. Oh, now he's speaking. Now he's speaking.
I'm trying here.
Okay, you're streaming, Okay, I already gave a negative shout-out to AT&T. I already did that for you. I was about to promote your podcast when you interrupted me. Obviously, we need to have another team meeting about your behavior. But
when
we'll
that
do that later
work?
Because we only have an hour-long program. So, but, hey, we do have some new intro music. We hope you like it. We wanted to change things up a bit. Again, we are... we say thank you again to Ivy Connolly for allowing us to use his song, a portion of his song, from Seiten Bruggenkate's wonderful film, How to Answer the Fool. We've been using that intro and exit music now for quite some time, probably more than a year or so, and we're very grateful for that. The fact that we're changing music has no negative reflection on Ivy Connolly or his music, or anything else. I just felt like making a change. And part of it is because I was jealous because Chris went and ripped off my friend. Chris went and ripped off my friend.
Not
going to
let it go.
I've only seen Frozen a couple times. I'm not quite there where I can let go of everything. You know, so I'm not yet wearing the shirt. I'm not yet sporting a bumper sticker. I'm not yet carrying the Frozen backpack.
Oh, there's an image.
So, but anyways, Elijah Hankins, a good friend. He did the music for Chris's podcast. And Chris, what's the site? You just put out another one. You just put out another podcast, your second podcast. What's the site?
It's blogtalkradio.com/slave-to-the-king.
It'll be easier.
Sorry.
You'll take out four syllables if you say dash instead of hyphen.
Okay, fine. Dash. Becky.
Okay. Yeah. Or you could simply go to blogtalkradio.com and type slave to the king in the search window and la, it'll pop
that
up.
Will probably work too. That will probably work too.
All right. Yeah. Anyways, I want to encourage you folks who are listening to supplement your time, not sacrifice your time, but supplement your time with Cross Encounters Radio by listening to Chris's hopefully weekly podcast, Slave to the King. So we got Rich back. It sounds like Chris at least came to some kind of terms of agreement via smoke signals with AT&T, and so he's able to be with us at least for the moment. And so here we are. Now, last week, it's kind of a tradition for us. I know KT, who is in the chat room today as Puppy Dog Tales. Her monikers change every week in the chat room, and every one of them give me a chuckle and put a smile on my face, and so I'm appreciative of that. And why did I bring up KT? What was I saying?
Yeah.
What was I saying?
I was trying to follow you, brother.
Look, you need to understand, when I'm not listening to me, you guys have to listen to me.
Listening's one part. Mind reading's another.
I think you were going to comment about her moniker for today's show.
No, I know, but no, I was going to say something else, though, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, it'll come back to me. Oh, Shinar Squirrel. Tony, what about vaccines? You spelled that wrong, Pastor, but thank you for that. Or Beth Moore. Okay. Yeah, no, I don't want to talk about Beth anymore today either. But hey, okay. I'm going to start with a little bit of a monologue today. I don't want to do it. I feel like I have to do it. I'm going to do it. Chris is nervous. Rich is kind of behind the eight ball a little bit on this one. Kind of below the curve on this one because he's been out. He hasn't been really following the brouhaha over the last few days. And quite frankly, if you're like Rich, you're extremely blessed that you haven't been following what's been going on. But I want to give my last word about a particular issue. And I emphasize my last word because in no way, shape, or form am I delusional enough to believe that this will be the last word. In fact, I anticipate after what I'm about to say, there will be all kinds of last words coming my way in all likelihood. But I knew the job was dangerous when I took it. So here goes everything. All right. And I mentioned on Twitter and Facebook that there was going to be one subject that in no way, shape, or form were we going to touch today. And so what I want to present to you now is what I won't talk about on today's show. I won't talk about the recent emotionally unhinged uproar over Pastor Jesse Johnson's article on the Cripplegate blog regarding childhood immunization, in which he takes the position that parents should immunize their children, a position, by the way, with which I agree. I won't talk about those who once considered me more than a friend, who now are no longer my friend because they saw my support of Pastor Johnson's article as a personal attack against them and their family, against their children even. I won't talk about how this online episode that will not so much register as a blip in world history has once again given license to Christians to hate one another. I won't talk about the disposability of friendships within the Christian community that may not simply rival that of the world at large, but might even surpass it. I won't talk about the utter hypocrisy of those who literally scream, "You've victimized me by taking the position you take," while they do the very same thing from the opposite side of the ideological divide to the person they say has victimized them. I won't talk about how on social media many Christians, even myself at times, yes, see grace as optional, especially among friends. I won't talk about how it is acceptable among Christians to rush to judgment instead of giving a brother or sister in Christ, a brother or sister with whom they share more than an anonymous social media relationship, the benefit of the doubt. I won't talk about the reality that most people who are opposed to immunization of children, I stress most, not all, I don't have any numbers, I haven't, I don't have any percentages, I say most, not all, who are opposed to immunization of children or immunization of any kind, live in countries where population-devastating disease is not a daily reality or even a passing thought. I won't talk about the hypocrisy of those who are angered because some find their refusal to immunize their children as irresponsible, while they themselves believe those who immunize their children are irresponsible. I won't talk about the obvious inconsistency of thought and action of those who refuse to apply the potential side effect risks argument to literally every other medical course of action involving drugs or surgical procedures. I won't talk about the simple truth that all of life is filled with risks and side effects. I won't talk about the biblical truth that when sin and death entered into the world, so did every conceivable and inconceivable negative side effect, including horrific diseases and the side effects some people, young and old, do in fact experience after receiving immunizations that have blotted out many deadly diseases from large swatches of the world's landscape. I won't talk about the heartbreak of being on the receiving end of friends using rhetoric, whether intended or not, that has made me feel like they believe I don't love their children, their sweet, beautiful children, who they believe have had terrible life-altering side effects as a result of immunization. I won't talk about how not a single one of my retractors, my friends, has asked me about what kind of health complications my children have faced as a result of medical procedures, antibiotics, medications, etc., or has asked me about how difficult it has been over the last 30 years to make critical health-related decisions regarding my children. After all, some of my friends need a villain, and who am I to rob them of that? I won't talk about how many diseases, from AIDS to Legionnaires, I was exposed to, and by association, my family was exposed to, while working in the Los Angeles County Jail system, and how my life experience, just like the life experiences of my anti-vaccination friends, informs and impacts my presuppositions and worldview regarding this issue. After all, no one asked. I won't talk about how I believe genuine followers of Jesus Christ who love their neighbor and who certainly love their children find themselves on both sides of this very emotional and personal issue. After all, that might cause a fire which might burn some straw man arguments and ad hominem attacks beyond recognition. Nope. I won't talk about these things on today's show. Why? Well, I think I've said enough. So, Chris, you got any thoughts?
I think my only real thought on this is that the internet is one of those vicious things, and we've talked about it many times, where we are quick to not give each other the benefit of the doubt. We are quick to make assumptions about the character and the motivations of a person who posts something. And we take things way, way too personally. And Tony, you and I discussed this particular subject earlier, and I have a slightly different opinion on it than you do.
Yeah.
But you and I can discuss it and be rational. You can tell me your point of view, and I don't feel like I'm being attacked. Yet people are quick to jump in and assume that they are being attacked, and then the other side, which is supportive of what you say, comes in and then attacks the other people for attacking. And that, I think, is probably the chief complaint that I have with this, is as Christians, it is our chief end to glorify God. And if we cannot engage in a conversation and try to work through something without being mean and vicious and taking things personally and saying you're insulting me and vice versa, then it's probably a conversation that we don't need to have. And, I had a conversation on Twitter with a godly brother. He thinks I'm wrong. I gave him my 2 cents. And I said, with that, I withdraw. If you can't do that, you're far too attached to the conversation, and you're more concerned about the conversation than you are about glorifying God. And, that's going to make some folks who are in my camp a little bit more upset with me for saying that. But if you're taking it that personal, we got a problem. So that's my 2 cents on it.
Yeah. No, good point. Good point. Rich, I know you've kind of been out of the loop, brother, but any thoughts on the conversation we're having?
Well, it goes back to several other conversations we've had over the last 3 years on a plethora of subjects. Ultimately, I think if you're a Christian and you're on social media, there's a verse in 2 Timothy that needs to be posted on your computer before you ever type anything. And I think it rather fits the entire situation. It's 2 Timothy 2:14. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. And as you have often said, the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Be slow to speak and long to hear. And I think a lot of times, and actually I kind of take a middle ground. I'm agreeing with you and I agree with Chris. Far too often people jump the gun and let their emotions rule their words instead of stepping back and listening to what both sides have to say.
Yeah, good point. Good point, brother. Well, if neither one of you guys have anything else to say, I'm ready to move on. And again, that's my last word. It's certainly, and people will be quick to tell me that, well, your last word doesn't mean it's my last word, and I agree. I absolutely agree. But, you know, if you don't like what I shared and you email me or text me or Facebook private message me or Twitter DM me or tag me on Twitter, or if you have my phone number and call me, yeah, you're probably not going to get a response. Just letting you know. Because the private and semi-private, some of the private and semi-private conversations have just been way too hurtful. So I'm not gonna talk about it anymore, and hopefully not simply cooler heads will prevail, but godly ones. And look, if you don't want to immunize your children, that's your decision as a parent. That is, I disagree with you, but I could still love you. Chris and I may have some disagreement on this issue, but I'm not going to fire him over it. I've got 1,000 other things to fire him for. I don't need this one. I don't even need this. I mean, we could start with one I haven't talked about. And that's how he ripped off my friend to do his music for his podcast.
No, you fib much. You started this last week.
Oh, no. Au contraire, dear friend. You started this when you ripped off my friend. That's when you started it. You drew first blood. You like Rambo, tying dirty bandana around your head, sitting up in tree, and coming down on top of wild boar with big sharp stick. You, my friend, you drew first blood. But I don't want to talk about that anymore. I don't want to.
Hey, Tony,
I don't want to talk about. I've had my
don't
last.
Don't feed
one.
Him, Rich.
Yeah,
don't feed him.
I've got to ask one question.
Oh, no.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Are you getting Chris because he started an audio blog or because he stole your friend to do the music for his audio blog? I'm just confused.
Why wouldn't my answer to that multifaceted two-pronged question be yes? Just a simple yes. Right?
Hey, wait,
permission. Look, there's 10 people in the chat room right now, and 3 of them are us. I've got to hold on to what little audience I have. I thought we had together as a team. But no, so Chris.
I'm going to go back to Skype. Right. I'm going to copy and print the conversation we had when I asked, is this okay? Because I don't want anybody thinking I'm competing. And the words were yes, and posted on our
See, and now you're going to gossip and share privileged conversations.
Oh, where's that Skype conversation? I'm posting this
just,
on the page.
You're just heaping sin upon sin now. Your podcast is built on the shaky foundation, my friend.
Oh, wait. Where is it? Where I'm looking. I am going to get rid of it. I'm screenshotting it now.
Now, Chris, wasn't it you, when we were talking about this, the last issue, which will no longer be mentioned, when you said that people get too emotional, or maybe you're too close, too emotionally invested?
Wait, no. That's when you are telling blatant falsehoods.
Okay. And you know, and you know, my fellow law enforcement brethren, that when someone's being interviewed and they say, no, that's code for, yes, I'm just trying to figure out what to say next.
I am going through Skype as we speak.
All right. So while Chris tries to get his duck decoys in a row, last week, as seems to be tradition here on this program, last week we didn't get time to fully discuss yet another situation with Russell Moore, the chairman, head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. His business card is like an 8x10 instead of standard business card size. You get all that on there, along with their spiffy logo. And it's actually a good thing that we had to put it off for a little further discussion because Rich wasn't here. And this week Rich is back, and so we can talk about this again. If you're not aware, I'm going to read again a short article that was written by Russell Moore, again, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission chairman for the Southern Baptist Convention. He is a high-ranking official and a darling within the Southern Baptist Convention. And we've taken Mr. Moore to task for a couple of other things. Some of his irresponsible comments regarding Ferguson, going and hobnobbing with the Pope in Vatican City. And this is right up there with that. Dr. Russell Moore, wrote an article titled ERLC's Russell Moore Responds to Mormon Church Decision to Support LGBT Legal Protection. So I want you to listen closely, and you will have to listen closely, otherwise you're going to be scratching your head going, man, I mean, these guys are really grabbing at straws or splitting hairs. I didn't hear anything. So you got to listen. And this is dated January 27th, 2015, and I'm reading verbatim. Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, responded to today's announcement by the Mormon Church to support legislation that would protect gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender people in areas such as housing and employment, as long as the laws protect rights of religious groups. Quote, I have met with Mormon leaders about these issues repeatedly. I think the Latter-day Saints are well-intentioned, but naive on where the reality stands today. I do not think, in most instances, sexual orientation ought to matter in housing or employment, but of course the proposals to address these concerns inevitably lead to targeted assaults on religious liberty. This announcement from Mormon leaders has, as I thought, been greeted with hostility from gay rights organizations and disappointment from social conservatives. Nonetheless, I look forward to working with Mormons and others on protecting religious liberty for everyone in the years ahead. As Southern Baptists, we believe gay and lesbian persons are created in the image of God and ought to be respected. But we also believe that any sexual expression outside of marriage between one man and one woman is morally wrong. And we believe that freedom of conscience for those of us who dissent from the sexual revolution ought to be maintained. End quote. Southern Baptist Convention is America's largest Protestant denomination with more than 15.8 million members in over 46,000 churches nationwide. The Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission is the SBC's ethics, religious liberty, and public policy agency with offices in Nashville and Washington, D.C. End of article. All right, so here's the official statement regarding same-sex unions from the Southern Baptist Convention via Dr. Russell Moore. As Southern Baptists, we believe gay and lesbian persons are created in the image of God and ought to be respected. We also believe that any sexual expression outside of marriage between one man and one woman is morally wrong. And we believe the freedom of conscience for those of us who dissent from the sexual revolution ought to be maintained. I agree 110% with that statement. Chris?
Yeah,
do you agree with
I would agree with that. Yeah. I would.
Rich, would you agree with Rich?
Wholeheartedly, I would agree.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So then what's the problem? Chris, do you want to start? What's the problem?
I think the biggest problem when we read that is just it only you kind of pass over it and you just kind of go, wait a second. And it's the idea of partnering with the Mormon Church. You know, wants to work together with the Mormon Church, but there's not a distinction that the Mormon Church is not Christian. And it seems that that's something that's been ongoing with a lot of folks. And I think certainly we could easily maybe just pass it off as being, oh, he didn't mean to make it sound that way. But I think we're seeing that a lot. We're co-belligerents in these issues, and they've biffed it on this one, but I look forward to working with them on other issues. And yet we're not making a distinction about what they believe versus what the Bible teaches.
Yeah. Rich, what are your thoughts?
Well, first, this is nothing new at all. And when as we're addressing just the Southern Baptist Convention, things like this have been going on for years. It seems like now we are being exposed to it more often. But he's not the first one within the SBC in the last few decades to come out embracing what otherwise biblical Christians know to be a cult like Mormons. And we all know that it's not true Christianity, it's a cult. But it goes back to a deeper issue of what's going on in our world today is that not all of us, but ones like this are so openly and so ready to embrace anyone that names the name of Christ, regardless of whether it's the Christ of the Bible or not, period.
Okay. Well, now, Rich, since a number of people think I'm the devil today, I'm going to go ahead and play devil's advocate on this. Is Russell Moore actually doing what you say he's doing with the Mormon Church, that he's, and at the moment, for whatever reason, I don't know if I just had a stroke or what, but I can't remember exactly how you said it, but is Russell Moore actually embracing, that was the word you used, is he actually embracing Mormonism by partnering with them in this social and moral issue?
Well, it's a spiritual enterprise, and the Bible forbids us to take on a spiritual partnership with anyone that's not within the church, and that's the true church, the true believing body, the true Christian church. And you cannot mix light and darkness. Mormons are a cult. They do not believe in the same Christ as we do in the Bible. They have a ton of false beliefs, and even the origins of Mormonism is shrouded in lies. So how else could it be considered other than he is condoning that cult by any form of embracement, regardless of whether it's a noble cause or not. The Bible tells us not to take on partnerships with those that are in the dark.
Amen. Yeah, you nailed it. And the passage you have referenced more than once, Rich, is 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, And I'm reading out of the English Standard Version for all of my King James only friends out there.
Oh, great! Start that argument again.
I'm just trying to deflect. That's all. But anyways, here's what the word of God says: Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So here's the deal, folks. Christianity is righteousness. Mormonism is lawlessness. Christianity is light. Mormonism is darkness. Christianity is Christ. Mormonism is demonic. Christianity is the fellowship of the saints, believers. Mormonism is a cult for unbelievers. Christianity, the people, the body of Christ, is the temple of God. Mormonism is idolatry. All right, and the Word of God is very clear, and Rich, you even used the word partnership. Maybe your translation, if you're listening, whether you're reading King James or New King James or NASB or another translation, maybe you have a different word there, but in the ESV it says partnership. What partnership has Christianity with Mormonism? And that's a rhetorical question, my friends. The answer is none. None. That's why Paul, quoting the Old Testament says, therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Rich also used the term spiritual enterprise. Look, folks, this fight, whether on a box preaching in the open air or from a pulpit in church on Sunday morning, or in the halls of government, this is a spiritual fight. This is a spiritual issue. This is not simply a social issue. The Mormons cannot assert any morality because they're idolaters, they're unsaved. They are of the same worldview as the atheist. Got to understand that, my friends. The Mormon, Romans 1 applies to the Mormon the same way it applies to the atheist. Romans 1, that they suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. They suppress the truth they know about God by their unrighteousness. They love themselves, they love their sin, and they hate God. That can be said about the Mormon the same way it can be said about the professed atheist. The Mormon knows there's only one God, the Mormon knows there's only one Christ, and they hate him. They hate him. That's why they have created this false demonic religion known as Mormonism. Because they hate Jesus. Every bit as much as the atheist does, who knows the one true God who exists. There's only two worldviews. The right worldview and every other worldview. A worldview that begins with God and ends with Christ. And every other worldview. The atheist, the Muslim, the Mormon, the Jehovah's Witness, the Roman Catholic, Oprah, Deepak Chopra, and everybody else is in the other worldview together. And so Russell Moore and the Southern Baptist Convention has absolutely no business whatsoever partnering with the enemies of God in anything. Certainly that which is indeed spiritual. So what? When's Russell Moore going to come out and say, look, you know, we're partnering with the Mormons on this issue, but we don't agree in prayer because because the Mormons aren't praying to God, and God isn't listening to their prayers, because God hates the prayers of the unrighteous. God despises the prayer of a Mormon, because the Mormon's not praying to the one true God. The Mormon's praying to the God created in the wicked mind of Joseph Smith. So when is Russell Moore going to come out and say, you know, the Mormons are against same-sex marriage, Christians are against same-sex marriage, but we're not partnering with the Mormons in this issue because we want the Mormons to come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We don't want to do anything by way of partnership with the Mormons, no matter how innocuous it may be, to lead them to believe that we think they're Christians, that we think they're brothers and sisters in Christ. When's Russell Moore going to have the spine to do that? When's Russell Moore going to stand up for Christ instead of the little kingdom he's building for himself in the Southern Baptist Convention? Anything else you guys want to add?
No, I think you covered it pretty well. I agree with everything you said. I mean, there's nothing else to be added to it other than I would, if Russell Moore happens to ever listen to this broadcast, or if anyone within the SBC happens to listen to this broadcast, I beg you, please repent and come forward and get right with God and quit embracing these uber charismatic movements and the Mormons and everything else that seems to be going on. I pray for you. We pray, many of us pray for the SBC and pray for these men and pray that they get right with God and turn their back on embracing Mormons and all this other that seems to be floating to the top now within the SBC.
So, Russell Moore, those of us here on this tiny little podcast that you're never going to hear, maybe someone close to you will love you enough to share it with you. We call you to repent. We call you to repent of your ecumenism with the Roman Catholic Church and now with Mormonism. We call you to repent, and we implore you to step down, not only for the sake of your convention, but for the sake of your own soul. Step down, Russell Moore. Step down. You're not representing Christ well. Step down. All right. I'm sure that'll get me invited to speak at the next convention. What do you think? Vote.
Speaking. Wow.
That was an octave in the hyena chuckle I have not heard before.
Wait, I'm back to hyena. I'm not Rumpel anymore.
No, that was definitely not a Rumpel laugh. No. See, you have the middle ground. You have the like middle register laugh, which is Lion King hyena. Then you have the higher laugh, which is Rumpelstiltskin in Once Upon a Time, and then you have this lower register laugh that I'm really afraid to go there. I was thinking, I don't know, I don't even want to go there because all I can think of are scary movies I was always afraid to see. So I don't even want to go there.
Vincent Price, maybe?
No. You actually frightened me way more than Vincent Price. So, Rich, it is so good to have you back, brother. I mean, it was not the same without you. And man, I just love hearing your voice back on the program. I am so glad you're feeling well enough to be with us.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
Be back as well. I always miss both you knuckleheads.
But his aim is improving.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Okay. Hey, how about a...
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I made Maria dumb. Maria thinks I'm being a little too boisterous. KT as well. She says I'm in yelling mode or something like that. And I think I'm excited because Rich is back, and that kind of helps to offset, what you did, Chris, by stealing my friend for your music. And
oh, by the way,
and
if
saw,
you go to
and
if,
saw,
you, if you go to Facebook, I have been vindicated.
I saw the link in the chat room, so I look forward to going and looking at that. I was afraid to do it because I'm having a difficult time multitasking today, and so I didn't want to click on the link while I was in mid-sentence and then ask you two guys who aren't listening.
There is a screenshot. There is a screenshot. I am now vindicated.
Well, yeah, we'll see if you're vindicated after we interpret it.
Ah! What are you, the magisterium now?
Only from 5 to 6 on Cross Encounters Radio at blogtalk.com. It's my 1 hour of the week to be the magisterium. You know what? I can honestly say that in all the things I have been called or referred to as in the last few days, magisterium was not even remotely on the list. So
great. Now I just gave somebody an idea. Oops.
All right. So speaking of lists, my friend, Calvin Doner, beautiful wife, Shiloh, beautiful children, got to hold their baby a little over a week ago when I went up to Beaver and Grace Bible Church up in Portland, one of my favorite church families on the whole planet. Well, Calvin's like a man's man, right? I mean, he's like a lumberjack dude. He's good looking. He's in good shape and he's a hard worker, works with his hands. You know, I mean, he's just one of those, man's men, manly men, the kind of guy that probably the man cave was developed to accommodate people like Calvin Doner. And you can't go really wrong with the name either, Calvin. So, but anyways, so Calvin posts on Facebook, I'm about to lose a listener. Maria keeps shaking her head at me. I'm about to lose one of our 8 or 9 listeners. Will you stop shaking your head, honey? You're making me self-conscious. All right. Wow. Pray for Maria because she often has a stiff neck because she's shaking her head at me so often throughout the day, every day. I do something, say something to make her shake her head, and it's just really starting to work on the C vertebrae. So, okay. Now I'm getting cop eyes. I should have never have talked. You know what? Maria had cop eyes before cop eyes were cool. So
well, she's married to you, obviously.
Anyway, squirrel. Gene Clyde's in the chat room. I think that's why I can't focus. There's a squirrel among us. That's why I can't focus. So back to my friend Calvin Doner. So Calvin posts this picture on Facebook where he's got these large magnetic handles. I don't know. I guess they're to use to shimmy up a metal pole or a metal building or something like that. Or, if you hold your hand up in the air with one of those things, maybe you'll get sucked under to the underside of a 747 flying overhead at 35,000 feet or something and actually fly. But so he's got two of these things and he's got them attached to a metal door, and he's got the core strength of a gymnast, and he's got himself parallel to the floor, perpendicular to the door, holding on to these two magnetic handles. And so I posted on the picture, and I said, Calvin, you pretty much just became my favorite Avenger. I had a geek moment right there for all my geek friends. And I love geeks, okay? I'm not going to write any anti-geek articles or anything like that. I love geeks.
Well, how do you
Maria doesn't want me to be sarcastic. Maria doesn't want me to be sarcastic tonight. All right, so anyways. So I decided, without asking Calvin, by the way, so just for the record so he doesn't get blamed, I decided, without asking Calvin, to have a contest on Twitter and Facebook to give Calvin an Avenger name. based on that picture. I tasked Chris, my friend, who has his own podcast.
Throw me under the bus, Chris. And blame me for this.
All right, I tasked Chris because you know again Rich has been a little under the weather and trying to distract Chris subtly from his podcast. I asked Chris to narrow down, and now they're mocking me for repeating myself. If you want to be my friend, email me at tony@crossencountersmen.com. tony@crossencountersmen.com. Please put 3 smiley faces on the subject line. And in parentheses, put, I heart you. And then tell me in the body. And then tell me in the body of the email that you want to be my friend. That's tony@crossencountersmen.com. All right.
We've only got 14 minutes. You going to finish that?
I really thought changing the intro music was going to calm me down. I really did. And it didn't work out. So we've narrowed it down. Chris has narrowed it down, and I am in agreement. We've narrowed it down to 3. The final 3. There was probably 100 suggestions. Some people made 20 or 30 suggestions, and yeah, they're not in the top 3, but they really tried hard. And so what we're going to do is we're going to share the top 3, and then we're going to pick one, and that person is going to receive a gift from Cross Encounters Ministries, some tracks. Maybe a couple little goodies. We'll let Rich decide that. Courtesy of Cross Encounters Ministries. And I don't know, maybe, I mean, no pressure, but maybe our sponsor, Sharkhead Knives and Gifts, might want to, you know, throw, you know, like a bazooka or something in there. It's just a, you know, just a lovely parting gift or something. But so here are the 3 finalists for Give Calvin Donor and Avenge Your Name. And these are in no particular order, okay? First one comes from Sherry Collins, and Sherry's suggestion was the Horizontal Houdini. Okay, Maria's frowning, so I don't know. Sherry, I liked it. I liked it. Huh? Well, did you see the picture? He was clearly horizontal. They both start with H, Horizontal and Houdini. Hello? Okay. All right. Well, Sherry, if you're listening, and you're probably not, but Sherry, if you're listening, just so you know that while Maria has great influence over one of the judges, she is not herself a judge in this contest. So. Number 2 comes from Oliver and Tabitha Banks. Now, Chris, when you sent this to me, you didn't put "and" between Oliver
and
Tabitha.
There is no "and" in the name. I copied it. It's Oliver. On Facebook, it says Oliver Tabitha Banks. So I just copied
it. But you do understand that husband and wives share Facebook accounts, and they often put their names together, right? Because right now, you've got the world thinking that instead of naming him Sue, Oliver's parents gave him the middle name Tabitha.
Hey, it is,
I mean,
on their Facebook page that way. I transliterated it, okay?
you could do that on your podcast show all you want. But here, my friend, we let men have family names. So anyways, we're going to assume that this was a combined effort between Oliver and Tabitha Banks. Oliver, if your middle name is Tabitha, please email Chris at chris@crossencountersmen.com with an explanation as to why. Anyways, his entry is the stabilizer. Okay, I don't hear Usnov coming. Maria's waving her hand like going, shut up, she doesn't want me to tell anybody that she liked that one. All right. And the third is from Alan Jerkins. Okay, Chris. Well, I tasked Chris with picking beef.
And you said now, you are in agreement. We can back up the show.
I have to give this a little context, just in case you didn't see the picture. Calvin, along with his plaid shirt, blue jeans, work boots, is wearing a yellow vest, a reflective vest. And so Alan Jerkins' entry is the yellow flag. Okay. So I want to make a command decision, and I'm going to say all three of you, for being the final three, will all get some gospel tracks from the ministry. And, well, how are you going to find out if you're not listening to the show? Gee, I don't know. We didn't think that far ahead. We will announce. We will announce on Facebook. And I think all three of these come from Facebook, but we will announce on Facebook that who the three winners are and how to contact the ministry. All three of you for your entries are going to receive some tracks. But the grand prize winner, which is yet to be determined. Actually, the grand prize is a year's subscription to Chris's podcast. That is the grand prize. Maria thinks I'm
being
rude.
This is why I almost didn't do the darn thing.
Anyway,
knew this was going to happen.
The grand prize. See, folks, you only have to endure this for an hour, but then I have to go through debriefing with my family after the show when they just lay into me over the dinner table as to, you know, how bad I was on the show. So
I hope they give you extra love for tonight.
If it makes you feel any better, your suffering is shorter than my own. The grand prize winner, is now Amanda's shaking her head. Still waiting for those applications, by the way. And, no, never mind. Grand prize.
He's going to be in literal a doghouse tonight.
The grand prize winner is Oliver and Tabitha Banks for the stabilizer. Crowd goes wild, red carpet, lovely gowns, nice tux. There we go. And Calvin Doner, you, my friend, are the stabilizer. I just like it. It sounds cool, doesn't it, Maria? I think that was Maria's favorite, too. Amanda, what do you think? You like that, the stabilizer? Okay, she's ignoring me. Okay, so how much time do we have left on this?
About 5 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay, well, we probably shouldn't get into too much more exciting stuff. Let me delete the article there on Russell Moore so I could forget about that. And what else you got? Oh, you know what? It's probably been too heavy a show for me to share my article, American Evangelicalism, Where Bad Things Happen. Probably shouldn't do that. Do you guys have a quick scenario for me for Always Ready? Did you guys think of something?
Yeah.
Apparently not.
I've got one.
I've got one.
Throwing me under.
All right, that's good. Good. Okay. Rich is going to save us, bail us out. Another reason why we've missed our brother. Go ahead, Rich. What do you got for me?
Okay. You're at a funeral.
I'm at a funeral?
Yeah, not this show, but you're at a funeral.
Okay. Same thing. All right. I'm at a funeral.
Okay. All right. You're at a funeral. How do you share the gospel with a loved one of the one that is departed?
Ah. Well, that's a great scenario, and I think because Rich loves me, he kind of threw a softball pitch over the heart of the plate for me, because I've actually been in this situation more times than I care to count, serving as a department chaplain for 8 years with the Sheriff's Department out here in Los Angeles County. I was the on-scene chaplain for 10 line-of-duty deaths, members of my department who were killed in the line of duty. Was involved in a number of situations, all tragic, where called to civilians' homes because a loved one died as a result of a long illness or a traffic accident or suicide or a sudden infant death syndrome or something like that. No fun, never. But there were a number of times where I were, it was in these positions, especially when officiating a memorial service or a funeral, where I wanted to make sure that I didn't give any false assurance to people I was talking to about their loved one being in heaven. I also didn't want to give I also didn't want to break anyone's heart by wrongly asserting or assuming that their loved one was in hell, because ultimately I don't know, certainly if I didn't know the person. And so what I would do is I would move the conversation as quickly as possible from the deceased loved one to the person that I'm sitting in front of or standing in front of talking to. And the way I did that, and I was taught this by another pastor many years ago, the way I do that, the way I've done that, the way I do that is that if your loved one could say anything to you right now, it would be, don't miss heaven. Now, by saying that, I haven't given any false assurance that their loved one is in heaven, and I also haven't assigned their loved one to hell. Whether their loved one is in heaven or in hell, the desire would be the same. Right? We have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man just desperately wanted Abraham to send someone to his family to speak to them the truth so that they could avoid that place of fire and condemnation. And so if their loved one is ultimately in hell, right, if they could say something to their loved one, it would be, don't miss heaven. If their loved one is in heaven, what they would say to their loved one if they could is, don't miss heaven. And so I would use that to transition into a conversation about the law and the gospel, taking the attention now off of the deceased loved one and not allowing where not their loved one is or isn't to be a stumbling block in the conversation. I would use that simple sentence, that simple segue to transition from the law to the gospel. And hey, we are about out of time. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Look, if you do have questions about the broadcast, we do want to hear from you. Email us at info@crossencountersmin.com. Follow us on Facebook at Cross Encounters Radio. Follow us also on Twitter at Cross Encounters Radio. Go to our blog, crossencounters.us. Visit the website, crossencountersmin.com. And let us know if we've encouraged you, how we can encourage you, or how we can do better. Until next week, be encouraged, strengthened, and unafraid. Proclaim the gospel.